So when I moved to Tennessee when I was 10, one of the things that I had to adjust to was how folks responded to my name. You see, Voorhees was a kind of a weird name for this part of the country. And invariably, somebody would come up to me and say, "Well, what kind of name is that?" Of course, it would be somebody named Smith or Jones or something like that that would ask. And I would explain to them that my ancestors came from the Netherlands, from Holland. And when they came across the ocean to come to the United States in the 1600s on a big ship named the Spotted Cow, which I think is kind of cool, they wanted to identify themselves based off of who they were and where they came from. And so they drew on a description. You see, in Dutch, the word voor means from. And Hees was a region of the Netherlands. And so when they came to this country, they said they were voor Hees, from Hees. It said something about who they were, where they came from, what their values were. Now, Abram had been living a long life in a land that God had sent him to when God came to him and said, "I want you to change, and I want to enter into a covenant with you." And one of the things that God asked Abram to do was to change his name, because names are important. They tell us something about who we are, where we've come from, and also where we're going. So today we're going to be looking at the covenant that God made with Abraham and thinking about the power of the name. I'm Jay Voorhees, pastor of the City Road Chapel United Methodist Church, located here in Madison, Tennessee. This is Prime Worship, and the Lord be with you.
This is Prime, the online service of prayer and praise for and from the City Road Chapel United Methodist Church, located in Madison, Tennessee. This service is for February the 28th, 2021, the second Sunday in the season of Lent.
Let us pray together. God of grace, righteous judge of all people, we thank you that in love you sent Jesus Christ into the world not to condemn but to save. May your mercy cause us to respond to you in loving commitment, that we may discover the true life you offer us. Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Throughout Lent, we will be focusing on our need for repentance as we confess our sins to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we can hardly believe that you have given us life and salvation as a free gift in Jesus Christ. We confess that we continually try to carry the burden of sin and salvation on our own shoulders, rather than trusting your forgiveness and seeking new life in the Spirit. Help us to place our trust in you and accept the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Welcome to the City Road Chapel United Methodist Church, a faith community dedicated to growing in our love of God and love of neighbor. For over 170 years, our church has been a presence in Madison, helping people connect to God and showing the love of Christ in all sorts of ways. We invite anyone seeking meaning and purpose in their life to join us as we work together to walk in the way of Jesus. With a recent downturn in the number of COVID infections, we are able to resume our live in-person worship services starting on Sunday, February 21, 2021, the first Sunday in Lent. We will be gathering at 9 a.m. on Sundays in our historic sanctuary with masks and observing social distancing. Of course, we continue to offer love to our neighbors in a variety of ways, including offering showers and laundry service to the homeless around us, feeding the hungry through our Feast monthly meal and our partnerships with other agencies, and through our 3-star rated child development center. Our work is dependent on the generosity of our members and the community. If you would like to make a donation to the work of City Road Chapel, please visit our website, cityroadchapel.org/give. All donations are tax deductible. May the Lord bless and keep you, shining God's countenance upon you, and bringing you peace.
Our scripture for today is from Genesis 17, verses 1 through 8 and 15 through 16. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am El Shaddai. Walk with me and be trustworthy. I will make a covenant between us, and I will give you many, many descendants." Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "But me, my covenant is with you. You will be the ancestor of many nations. And because I have made you the ancestor of many nations, your name will no longer be Abram, but Abraham. I will make you very fertile. I will produce nations from you, and kings will come from you. I will set up my covenant with you and your descendants after you in every generation as an enduring covenant. I will be your God and your descendants' God after you. I will give you and your descendants the land in which you are immigrants, the whole land of Canaan, as an enduring possession. And I will be their God." God said to Abraham, "As for your wife Sarai, you will no longer call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and even give you a son from her. I will bless her so that she will become nations, and kings of people will come from her." Take a moment to meditate on these words. How have you been changed by God to be a blessing to the world?
What's in a name? The question was first asked by Juliet as she was reflecting on the ongoing battle between the Capulets and the Montagues, of course in Romeo and Juliet. And along the course of the way, she wonders how a name, just the name of her family, well, why that name might matter when the one she loves holds the name of her sworn enemy. Now, our hearts swoon at the love between the couple. But she asks an important question. What's in a name? Well, something must be important about names because we spend a lot of time focusing on what we're going to name our children. There are books on baby names. There are websites you can go to. There are even consultants you can hire to help you determine what would be the right name for your child. And I know when my children were born, we spent some time thinking about what do we need to name this child? How it would that name would be a reflection of who we are and what we understood the world to be about. But beyond the naming of children, names continue to be important in things like business. You know, businesses spend a lot of money developing names and then creating logos and catchphrases to go along with those names to say who they are. They also pay lawyers lots of money to protect their name. And one of the worst things that can happen to any business is for their name to be sullied. Names are important, for names say something about who we are. And we may question, like Juliet, the significance of names, but when we look around, we realize that names are a pretty big deal because they give us something to hang our hats on. Our identity is tied up in our names, both good and bad. Our moms yell to us as we run out the door, "Remember who you are." And of course, we know who we are. We're a Voorhees or a Elder or a Neely or a Jones. These names tell us who we are, who we belong to, and it gives us roots that dig deep into the soil. Now, you would think by the time Abram was 99 years old, he was pretty well accustomed to his name. 99 years is a long time to have a name. There was a reputation associated with that name. The name said who he was and where he'd come from, and it would be pretty hard to give all that up. But then God came along. You know, the same God that had told him to upset his family and pull up his roots and head to somewhere down the road. "Hey," God said, "remember me? I got big plans for you and me." Now, Abram did what any of us would have done. He hit the dirt terrified. But God continues on. He says, "I'm making a covenant with you. You're going to be the father of many nations. You're going to have countless descendants. I want you to change your name to Abraham as a sign of what I'm doing for you. Your old name meant exalted father, but your new name means father of the multitude, because I'm going to bless you and all those who follow you." So God comes to Abram, and the message is good. God came promising blessing upon blessing, but God wanted something of Abram as well. He wanted him to change his name. God wanted Abram to put on a new identity, the identity of Abraham. And it was a new understanding, a new way of facing the world, which proclaimed God's faithfulness and God's blessing. Yes, God would bless, but with that blessing came a responsibility to represent God and to bless the world. And it wasn't just taking a name, because there's more. God wanted to mark these people for there to be a physical sign of their covenant together. So, and this is the part that makes us squirm a little bit, God told the men to be circumcised. It was a mark of distinctiveness, a mark of uniqueness that clearly said, "I belong to El Shaddai, God Almighty." And in the changing of the name and the cutting of the flesh, Abraham was putting on a new identity. Where once he had been Abram, the simple father of a wandering tribe, now he was Abraham, blessed by God to be a blessing to the world. And where his wife Sarai had once been barren and dishonored in her world, she was now to be Sarah, princess, the mother of all to come. So what's in a name? quite a bit, I think. Because a name says something about who we are and where we've come from. And it gives us a new way of understanding ourselves, a new way of living, a new way for others to experience us. Now, there's a movie I used to watch with the girls when they were in high school. It's called Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen. And it goes something like this. There was a rather dramatic teenage girl who is forced to move from New York to New Jersey when her mom gets a new job. And as she goes into the high school there, she decides that her old name, Mary, just isn't very exciting. So she takes on a new name. She becomes Lola. And she is a person full of adventure and excitement and all the things that she wants to be, but probably really isn't on the inside. And in taking a new name, she put on a new identity and finds herself being accepted in a new way. Now, the church understood the power of naming for many, many years. People would be given baptismal names as a sign of their covenant with God. "What name shall this child be called?" the pastor would say. And priests and nuns likewise would be given new names when they made their commitment to the church, casting aside their old identities for new ones. Now, these days, we've lost the practice. I mean, a name, what's in a name anyway? And you know, I think we also have lost the understanding of covenant that goes with that name change. You see, we don't mind entering into a covenant with God as long as it doesn't change us. We want to be the same people that we've always been, the same folks with the same identities. Yes, we want to follow God, but we really don't want to be different. That old name is good enough. The old ways of being feel just fine. We don't really want God to change our name, do we? But God says, "Yeah, I'm going to bless you, but you have to put on a new way of being. I'm going to give you a new name, the name of Christian. And I want you to take on a new identity, a new way of living in the world. I want the people in the world to see you and know whose you are. You are my beloved, who are blessed to be a blessing to the world, and that blessing requires a new name." Now, here's the problem. We've been given the name Christian, but these days, in more recent years, that name seems more loaded with baggage than it does proclaiming the love of God. How often do I hear folks say, "Oh, you're a Christian? Well, you must not love people, or you must be judgmental," or all the things that go along with the name Christian. I like to say to folks, we live in a time where the brand has been damaged. But part of our task, part of our job as people of the covenant, is to redeem the name. Because the name was not given for exclusion. It was given to be a blessing to everyone we meet. Our job, our task as people who carry the name of Christ with us is to be Christ to the world and do everything we can to help those around us experience the love and grace of God. So, part of what I'm suggesting today is that I think God wants to change our name. Not literally, but certainly in our heart and in our actions. And we may still be Smith or Jones or Neely or any of the other names that are here at our church, but our names should become synonymous with God's work in the world. See, we're being called to put on a new name, to put on a new way of being. And the old way isn't bad. It's just that the new way is better. There's an old spiritual that goes something like this. I told Jesus it would be all right if he changed my name. Jesus told me I would have to live humble if he changed my name. Jesus told me that the world would be against me if he changed my name. But I told Jesus it would be all right if he changed my name. Are we really willing to let Jesus change our name? Would it really be all right? Are we really willing to change our lives and our heart so that we can live out the covenant that God has given with us? Are we willing to live in that covenant? The covenant that Abraham was given for us to be blessed, to be a blessing to the world. So what's in a name? Everything, I think. Have you changed yours?
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will keep singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
As we finish our service today, just a reminder that today, the 28th, we will be doing our community meal. We'll be reaching out with the love of God by serving food. If you want to come at 4 o'clock and volunteer, we'd be happy to put you to work. Again, we start serving at 5. And we serve about 80 meals a week in that. It's one of the ways that we reach out to our neighbors here in Madison. I need some help from you because I'm going to have to make a decision. For almost a year now, we have done this Prime worship service, which we pre-produce every week and make available. And the feedback that I've gotten, both in terms of the number of folks that seem to be watching it, as well as the feedback from folks who really seem to enjoy it, has been positive. But as we move back into live worship, the reality is I've got to figure out how to use my time most effectively. We will be doing a live stream of the worship service, and the worship services live are pretty much all the elements that you get in Prime. The difference is that they're produced for a live audience and not for you. And so I need your guidance. Producing Prime takes me pretty much the better part of 2 days each week. And I need to know whether this is important enough for us to continue on, or whether you would be likely to switch to watching our live service, either live on Sunday morning or it's always recorded and you can watch it later. If you would like for us to continue this format, I encourage you to leave a comment here on YouTube or to email me at pastor@cityroadchapel.org. I think this has been a meaningful time for all of us, but I have to figure out how to adjust my time and how to be most effective. And so I need your guidance, because I don't want to stop something that's important to y'all, but I also want to make sure that my time is used wisely so that I can be in ministry to all of us as well. As we prepare to leave today, of course, we do want to lift up all the needs of our friends and neighbors in prayer. So please take note of the names as they scroll across the screen right now. And may God be with you.
Let us pray. God of the ages, you called your servant Abram to leave his home and to travel to the place that you would show him. Later, you gave him a new name and a charge to be a blessing to the world. In our baptism, you likewise name and call us to represent your love and grace to a world in need. Help us, O Lord, when we fail to recognize that calling. Help us to travel to new places and take on new identities and to learn new languages. Soften our hearts so that we are open to your call wherever that might take us. And as always, Lord, we pray for our friends and neighbors, lifting them up to you for healing and wholeness. Help us to see all of our neighbors and welcome them into your grace and mercy. Jesus, we come before you today, remembering that you took the form of a servant, humbling yourself to the point of death, so that all the world might be redeemed and light would shine in the darkness. It's in your honor that we pray together the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Soft, and until we meet again, may God keep you close to Him. Yes, may God hold you in the palm of His.